John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
And joining us in the Venue Kings hotline is Brady Henderson from ESPN.com. And I know that, we don't have John Banks right now as a guy that would tell you this is a national holiday today. Every time the schedule comes out, particularly at ESPN, the schedule is like a national holiday because, again, there's so many stories that have to be done, so many analytical things that have to be done, and then so much excitement just knowing it's like, okay, here it is. Are you excited to see the Seahawks schedule at 5?
I am. You said it's like a holiday. I mean, it's sort of like a mini Christmas, just because you feel like, I guess it's just another sign that football is I guess, right around the corner. So you get pre-existing draft, and then the schedule comes out. It's just, it's just kind of the next thing on the off-season calendar, and it's another reminder that we're not all that far away from football.
No, we really aren't. And, of course, I need you to probably get a little bit closer to the phone because you're kind of going in and out a little bit. But overall, I mean, the great part about this is that, then you can really – because, I mean, I go back to last year's schedule, and honestly, it's like – and I'm the nut when it comes to this because I'm that Dick Vermeil learned from Dick Vermeil, schedule is everything. It's like, okay, so now the key to any schedule, which, of course, is not the case this year for Seattle because they got one of the tougher schedules, is that, hey, you can go to a Super Bowl if you're 3-3, a 500 record against teams with winning records. But again, you don't want to play 10 because, again, that makes it too tough to get that winning record. But what I saw last year, it was a balanced schedule. It was pretty much home, away, home, away. Didn't have the late start or the early starts on the East Coast. I mean, the only one was the Jacksonville game, and that game turned out to be a 4 o'clock Eastern once the Jaguars became good. And so it was balanced, but unfortunately for this team, they only won 9 games.
Yeah, it was very much a favorable schedule. I think the only time that they had back-to-back road games, I think it was in October, and I believe the bye was in between them. So they didn't play through back-to-back road games, at least in consecutive weeks at any point last season. And coming off the Thursday night game in Arizona, I think they had, they had sort of a mini bye there because they had 2 weeks later. So it was definitely a favorable schedule for them. And I think, if it's going to be a favorable schedule for them this year, one aspect of that would be getting a bye coming off of that London game, just because that's such a brutal travel, teams can request. I think that's sort of the default, is that you get that bye that London game if you don't want the game on your schedule. I just talked to the Jaguars reporter for ESPN, who's, the Jaguars have played a bunch in London. He said that, teams have the option of not having to bye after that week, but I don't know why any team who's playing in London wouldn't want to have that week off coming after that London game. So that'll be something to keep an eye on, is when that bye comes. But I would imagine that it would be after that London game in I think it's week 6, October 14th.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't too bad. I mean, because again, I still remember in the Super Bowl year, I think they had a very late bye, and that's the best because, it gives you the chance. I mean, again, you want to have a chance to kind of regroup, and if you can get that, late November, early December type of bye, that's great. But now I would have to imagine, because Indianapolis was the one last year, I think one, maybe two teams that elected not to take the bye afterwards. When you saw how well that went, had a coaching change, all those different things. So it's like, I'm sure that's where the bye week is going to be. So that's, I think, one that you can figure in. One of the things I was hearing was that there may be a little bit of a flop and switch in the Rams series, where it seemingly forever, particularly when they were back in St. Louis, Seattle would have to go to St. Louis and play the Rams early. Last year, they went to Los Angeles. Now it looks like the Ram game is going to be first at home and then later against the Rams in L.A.
Yeah, that was it. I hadn't thought about that, but that is a good point. It seems like it's always been, that they would finish the season either week 16 or 17 at home against the Rams. I think it was week 15 last season. It was sometime in mid to late December, whatever it was. But yeah, that would be an interesting switch, and I think that game would make a lot of sense as a primetime game, which is another interesting aspect. I mean, the first thing you look at whenever the schedule comes out is how many primetime games your team gets, because those are the most appealing. And I had a thought earlier today, just how many of those games might the Seahawks get? They've had either 4 or 5 every year since 2013. I wonder, you know, how many they're going to get this year just because of the state of the team. You know, they're coming off a non-playoff season. You know, they've made so many changes on their roster. No more Richard Sherman, no more Michael Bennett, Jimmy Graham. So they've lost kind of a lot of that star power. Obviously, they still have a ton, and they would still be an appealing team for primetime. I just wonder how many games they would get. And I would think that, you know, one of those Rams games would make sense. Also, one of those two games against the 49ers and Richard Sherman obviously would make a ton of sense, too. So, the primetime games, that's always the first thing you look at, and that's what I'm most eager to see is how many they get and which of them they are.
I know one of the things, I mean, from the league-wide perspective, what I'm looking forward to is seeing how they schedule the Thursday games, because now with Fox coming in with more money, more clout, and a desire to really, you know, just get back to basic football, that, you know, they're going to try to give them much better games, where before it was just, before last year, they just basically took the 32 teams and kind of spread them out with mostly division games on Thursday night, thinking they're easy to prepare for, but then you had a lot of games that just weren't interesting and not good.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the Thursday night games are obviously just a tough thing on the players in general, and I think a lot of times it leads to sloppy play, and when you combine that with bad teams, it's just not a very appealing product. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, I know there was so much, every year, you know, there's players who complain about the Thursday night games, and you know, you saw what happened last season with the Seahawks. I mean, just consider how much changed. In that Thursday night game against Arizona. I mean, they won that game, but that was, you know, not only a season-altering game for them. You know, they lost Richard Sherman to a torn Achilles. Cam Chancellor injured his neck in that game. So many more just dropping left and right. And not only was it a season-altering game, I think you could say it was a franchise-altering game just because of, you know, Chancellor's uncertain future. You know, what might have happened with Sherman had he not been coming off a torn Achilles? I'm pretty sure he'd still be in Seattle. So, you know, the Thursday games, you can obviously see why players don't like them. That I think that game against the Arizona last season was a perfect example of that.
So, I don't know, did you see or hear Greg Bishop yesterday on with Brock and Salk, and the story he relayed was that Michael Bennett, you know, apparently having heard every speech since 2013 that Pete Carroll has heard, that is given, pretty much was reading books as the meetings were, as they're going, and Pete was giving his speeches. Kind of an unusual story.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it was an unusual thing for Michael Bennett to divulge there. I don't think it was, I think that kind of aligns with everything that we've heard. You know, not only Sherman has made that point as well, you know, after he was released, he kind of had the same point about, you know, Carroll's message. There's a danger in that getting stale with some of the players who have heard it for so many years. And I think Pete Carroll himself has actually acknowledged that it's sort of a challenge to keep the words fresh. When guys have been around for so long, I think that the other interesting part of that is that provides pretty good context, I think, for the decision the Seahawks made to move on from Bennett in the first place. And you know, from a football standpoint, you know, from a sort of performance salary cap standpoint, it was not readily apparent why they did that, because it only saved $2.2 million. There was more dead money than cap savings there. So it did make a kind of financial sense. And it was also coming off a season when he had 8.5 sacks. So on the surface, you know, that move didn't make a ton of sense. But I think, you know, the underlying reason for that was that Bennett kind of became, you know, a difficult guy to manage. And I had heard that, you know, before Greg's story. There was sort of, you know, indications of that. And that, I think that was just sort of a perfect or a pretty good illustration of that. Sort of a reason for why the Seahawks felt that they needed to move on from Michael Bennett.
So now, I don't know, I was listening to something yesterday, and then somebody was noting that the Earl Thomas side of the, over on the, in CenturyLink is no longer there. They may have taken it down. Now, I know, I think they were putting up one more. Maybe it'll be Earl Thomas. But I don't know, the more you get closer to the draft, I mean, not that we hear anything definitive, chances of a Thomas trade, I think, are increasing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, John. And I wrote about this earlier today, and you know, there's a lot of layers to it. You know, I just get the sense that it is. You know, I don't know if it's likely. If I had to sort of put a percentage on it, I would, you know, maybe guess 50-50. You know, there's just a lot of smoke there, and you know, I think one interesting aspect of that is that what the Seahawks would want or what they could get in a trade back, and the reported terms have been a first and a third. Well, okay, it's one thing to want that, but I don't know if that's entirely realistic because, again, any team that is trading for Earl Thomas, is going to have to give him a massive new contract extension. And so doing that, whether it's $12, $13, $14 million a year, plus giving up a first and a third round pick, that's a lot. That's probably a prohibitive amount. So, I really wonder if there is a trade with Earl Thomas, if the Seahawks, I think that they would take something less than that. I don't know how much less than that, but I just think that a first and a third with a new deal kind of sounds like a prohibitive amount.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to think it's going to end up, if it's going to be a trade, a second and something else, and that something else, I don't know if it's going to meet what this team would want. Hey, Brady Henderson, of course, I'll read that story, of course, on Earl Thomas. It's going to be on ESPN.com, and thanks for joining us on the Venue Kings Hotline.
Professor, thank you for having me. Take care.
All right, sounds good. And, of course, the Mariners face the Astros in a series finale this afternoon. Game time is at 12:40. Coming up, we're going to get out the report card, grade what's good, bad, and indifferent about sports in general. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the John Clayton Show, and you know what would be great is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app. It's time for the Report Card with the Professor.
Boy, I tell you what, it's a fast show because this is our last segment. And, of course, we're also taking your text questions at 710-710. And what we do, of course, is get your thoughts. I'll give you a grade as far as what I think some of the good, bad, and indifferent things are. So let's get started. Also, your text questions will follow at 710-710. Mark?
All right. First up, Professor, we have, Mike Leach is always good for a soundbite, Washington State head coach. He had some opinions on what golf is actually all about. Let me get our sound up here. That would help.
Golf's pretty much for people that don't swear effectively enough or need practice at it. And so, there are those that need golf.
He's a beauty. I mean, I love talking to him because, again, it's like, the pool, the toughest thing, and I remember he said this to me once, is that, you get me to talk more football than I normally do. It's like, well, that's good because you're such a great football coach. I mean, I think when we're talking anything, when you talk Mike Leach as far as, I have to give it an A- because he's just so different. I mean, you love people that answer questions in a different way. He's always open and generous with that. So I'll give him an A-.
What about you, Professor? Does golf get you swearing?
I wish I could get a chance to get back and get into golf because I loved it. And because I would not curse because I was never any good. I mean, I could get out maybe in
why you curse, because you're not doing well.
No, that's true. But it's like, if I could get out like 7 times, I can start to get my score under 100. Unfortunately, with other circumstances, I haven't been able to get out on a golf course in now more than about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm not much of a golfer myself. Next up, Professor, I want to get your opinion on, I know Brock and Salk brought this up to you this morning. Yep. USA Today did a poll amongst agents asking which GMs and owners in the league are the most and least trusted by them. And the list for most starts with Ravens GM Ozzie Newsome, then Patriots coach Bill Belichick, and John Schneider is coming in third there. After that, Chris Ballard, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert, and Rams GM Les Snead.
Mm-hmm.
And the least trusted is Washington President Bruce Allen, Dolphins Executive VP Mike Tannenbaum, Broncos GM John Elway, and Bengals owner Mike Brown.
Yeah, the surprise in that, I guess, is John Elway. Now, I have to give that, because one thing I understand with Bruce Allen used to be an agent, so he's going to drive a hard bargain going against other agents, so I can see where, he's going to be right toward the bottom of the list as being very difficult, because he knows exactly what's in the agent's mind, because he was an agent. The Elway one, I guess you could talk about, because I'm such a big Elway guy as far as what he does, as far as I think he's a great problem solver, but also he can be tough. I mean, when he puts a number down on a player, he's not going to budge too much. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. Remember, this is a guy that went to Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league. And here's John Elway, Hall of Fame, one of the greatest players as quarterback in the National Football League, Peyton, you got to take a pay cut. And did that. So I can see where, you know, a little bit of a surprise on Elway to be in that mode, but I can understand it.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Belichick drives a hard bargain as well, though.
Yeah, he does. And, of course, I mean, somehow, some way, he's able to get players to take less to stay there. I mean, he's been able to do this with Tom Brady. He's been able to do this with others. Yeah, very interesting to kind of see how that list goes. So kind of give USA Today kind of an interesting, you know, B-plus in being able to put something together like that.
Yeah, and it's nice to see. I think the Seahawks are very fair in their dealings, so it's nice to see John Schneider on the trusted list.
No doubt, and I think, you know, because you can see, I mean, just a classic example of what they did. I mean, they didn't have to do it. I mean, they liked Deshaun Shedd. They stood by Deshaun Shedd coming off that knee injury all season long, and then unfortunately for the team that, and even for Shedd, that, you know, he got the fact that they didn't give him a year of credit service. So now technically he had to get his contract told, and the Seahawks could have kept him for $1.2 million. But because they promised him when he did the one-year deal that he would be able to be a free agent, and they cut him, let him be a free agent. And so, you know, that's being good with the players. That's why Snyder would be third.
All right, let's try to squeeze in some text questions here before we get to the Mariners.
Okay.
First up, we have the 360 asking, is Pete Carroll a Hall of Fame coach?
Yes and no. I mean, the problem is it's hard to get a Hall of Fame coach. And that's why I think years down the line, maybe with some success on me pushing, we can get coaches into the contributor category and get more coaches in. But, I think the thing that'll put him over the top is this next run. If he can get this team back to a Super Bowl level, then I think that could put him over the top. I mean, right now, I consider him the second best coach in football, right behind Bill Belichick.
425 wants to know, John, would the Seahawks be compensated if Malik McDowell got on with another team?
No. There's no compensation. I mean, it's a matter that if you cut him, you cut him. You don't terminate his contract. I mean, and nobody's going to claim him on waivers. But no, there's no compensatory pick because remember, he's not an unrestricted free agent. He's just going to be a street free agent. No compensation if anything happens with Malik McDowell and him being released.
John, I heard you talking about this the other morning. The 509 wants to know, how does Bruno Sammartino rank as far as popularity in Pittsburgh history?
Number one for wrestling, no question about it. I would say probably top nine, maybe for all time, because, you know, naturally you're going to have, you know, Bradshaw and the Steelers that are going to be there. You know, Roberto Clemente and Willie Stargell in baseball. You know, Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby and hockey. And then somewhere in that bottom of the tens, it was going to be Bruno.
All right. Next up, we have the 860 wants to know, hey, Professor, what is your greatest pet peeve?
Pet peeve, I guess, is, bad interviews, bad interviewing techniques. I mean, I watch that so much, you're watching some of the things going on politically. I mean, just real bad interviews. And that's a pet peeve of mine because, again, it's like, hey, you got somebody there, ask them good questions. And when you hear generic type of questions and just bad questioning and then not listening to what the person says, you know, it's like, okay, listen to what the person says and then react with a question. It's like, okay, well, gee, I was probably the worst I've ever done playing in the way that I put everything together. And so the next question is, so what do you think about next week's game? What? It's like, follow up on this stuff. That's a pet peeve of mine.
Understandable. 509 wants to know, where do you see CJ Anderson going? Is his history of injuries concerning?
I don't think so, no. I mean, remember, he's one of 9,000 yard backs from last year. There was only nine, and he was one of them. I mean, I could still see him coming here. I think there's interest in Detroit. We'll see if the New York Giants get involved, but if they're going to take Barkley, then there's no reason to bring CJ Anderson in, but say one of those three teams. Maybe Tampa Bay, too. Tampa Bay, I think, would be an interesting fit.
509 says, we all expect the Seahawks to trade their first pick. Are there any players you think they should take if it fell to them at 18?
I have to think that, you know, Geist, the running back at LSU, but maybe that's a little bit too high. You know, any of the defensive ends, I think, would be certainly there. I mean, Vita Vea, which I don't think is going to be there at 18. You know, those would be, so it'd either be a defensive lineman, a defensive end, and maybe an outside shot at running back. But I still think that they can move down and get Geist.
Right, 206 wants to know, any thoughts on moving Thursday night football games to Friday night instead?
No, they will not do that because it would interfere on high school football, and that would be a very bad thing to do. I mean, you got to clear the decks for high school football, give high school all the chance to have the platform that they can have because, you get a chance to, you know, build up a lot of the players for the future and a lot of interest in the sport. So no Friday night at all.
206 says, JCPenney, what's your favorite Mexican meal?
I guess probably an enchilada. I kind of like those. You know, definitely quesadillas. You know, a good quesadilla. Just make sure I don't have the guacamole on there. Just don't like guacamole at all. So,
so those are
some of the best, yeah.
All right, Professor, we got to get out of here for the Mariners game.
Okay, so coming up next, and of course, short show today, Mariner baseball coming up next. That big series continues against the Houston Astros, and Marco Gonzalez is going to be on the mound in a big, big game. They really need to try to at least get this win, get the split in the series, try to make sure that they can get the hitting going. Again, this Astro team with that pitching staff is so, so good, and we let you know that the roof is open. Game time is going to be at 12:40, but the pregame is coming up next. Get ready for Mariner Baseball. It's the John Clayton Show. Talk to you tomorrow at 10 on 710 ESPN Seattle.